Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you could always get the podcast at Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Remember, while you're there, to rate, subscribe, and share, so that way you and your friends never miss a minute of the show. We are following what is going on at the northern U.S. border with regards to what's happening at the terrorist attack that's now been confirmed by Fox News at the Rainbow Bridge at Niagara Falls. Is this a spillover from what's going on in the Middle East? We don't know yet. We will bring you all the details as we get them. We are also following the upcoming ceasefire that's happening between Israel and Gaza. Let's not forget there was a ceasefire in place on October 6th before Hamas broke it. Now to discuss the hostage deal, the swap, if you may say it that way, even though I wouldn't call it that, senior political correspondent for Jay Insider covering Israeli politics and diplomacy, the one and only Lahav Kharkov. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Such a pleasure. So why don't you break down this deal for us? Tell exactly what's in it.
So Hamas and other Gaza terrorist groups took 240 Israeli hostages on October 7th, in addition to the massacre that they committed that day. And this deal is, at least initially, to have 50 of the hostages released. There'll be women and children. A reminder that the youngest child is 10 months old, although there might be a newborn because there was a heavily pregnant woman abducted that day. But the youngest that we know of is 10 months old. And the 50 it'll be divided between 4 days. And during those 4 days, there'll be a temporary ceasefire. And as Hamas releases hostages each day, they have to release at minimum 10 each day of the 4 days. Israel will release three times as many Palestinians who are in Israeli prisons. Now, you were talking about a swap. It's hard to find the right word for this because it's not like what I would call a fair trade, not just because it's 3-1, but because the Palestinians that Israel is releasing are people who were arrested for violent crimes, people who tried to stab Israelis, people who shot at Israelis, people who threw rocks at moving cars. And they are women and minors, mostly teenage. It's almost entirely, almost the whole list is teenage boys. And then there's also some adult women. So, you know, you're trading people who were in their homes, including, you know, babies and small children, for violent criminals. But, you know, Israel really wants the hostages back. Everyone here is praying for them and hoping that they come back as safely and as healthily as possible. And so they're willing to make that sacrifice.
So let me help clarify this for my audience a little bit. Echo Glen is a juvenile facility here in Seattle holding the worst of the worst teenagers. And you've seen what happens when those teenagers break out of prison. Now imagine they're terrorists for a minute. And in the Gilad Shalit deal, which was back in 2011, where one Israeli soldier was traded for 1,027 terrorists, some of those terrorists, including the now commander of Hamas, went on to do awful things, including October 7th. So you're literally talking about letting these people out of jail. I saw one woman, because you think women and children, that's not who this is. I saw one woman who is a bomb maker, who's all disfigured because one of her own bombs blew up on her when she was trying to use it. So we're talking with Lahav Kharkov, who's a senior political correspondent for Jewish Insider. What's the mood like in Israel regarding this trade? Are they in favor of it? Do they oppose it? Is it kind of split? How do people feel about it?
I think people are really, really torn. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people, and it's how I feel too. It's like a very emotional day because you don't know how to feel. Because on the one hand, there's relief that it seems like most of the children will be coming home in the next few days, although it's far from certain that all of them will come home. And at the same time, there's real apprehension because of what you said, because of the Shalit deal, so many violent, murdering terrorists were released. And of course, you know, Yahya Sinwar, who's commanding Hamas in this entire war, was someone who was released in the Shalit deal. Now, it's a small comfort that nobody being released now has murdered anyone. But, you know, this is the case in regular juvenile offenses and not just terrorism, right? That these are people who have like a pretty high rate of recidivism. Like if you're a teenager who's going to come up to an Israeli and try to stab him or shoot at him, and you get out a few months later, chances are you're going to try it again. And so, you know, there's a lot of concern about that. There's also a lot of concern about this pause in the fighting, right? Israel's leaders have said it's not a real ceasefire. The war is going to continue after this pause. We're still committed to the cause of eradicating Hamas, the terrorist group that rules over Gaza. But there's going to be a lot of pressure from the world. I mean, the U.S. has relatively been, I mean, the U.S. has been very supportive, right? And Israel's other Western allies have been supportive, but less supportive. And all of these leaders have pressure from their populations. Now, the most important to Israel is the U.S., because aside from being, you know, the leader of the free world, they also support Israel, and they're Israel's closest ally. But there's growing pressure in the Democratic Party. And so, you know, if there's pressure to continue this ceasefire, I know a lot of Israelis are really worried that Israel's not going to be able to finish the job it set out to do.
So you mentioned something very important there, is that getting back the hostages is a goal, but eradicating Hamas is really the larger goal. And something I'm worried about is the domino effect. Right now, Israel's diplomatic relations, especially the new ones created under the Abraham Accord, we're basically under the premise that Israel isn't going anywhere. Israel can defend itself, and Israel is a strong ally, and Israel needs to restore that since October 7th. If Israel allows Hamas to stay in place, then I don't really see any more peace deals happening. Hamas is emboldened. Hezbollah is emboldened. Iran is emboldened. Their proxies are emboldened. And it's not just problems for Israel. Then it becomes a worldwide problem. Do you see it the same way?
I would go that far, but I do think that, you know, if we want to deter Iran, a lot more needs to be done. And Hamas is not Iran's biggest or strongest proxy, right? I mean, Hezbollah, I would say, is an even bigger threat to Israel. And so if Israel can't get rid of Hamas, or mostly get rid of Hamas, right, there's some arguments to be made that you can't truly get rid of it entirely, but get rid of it to the extent that it can no longer rule Gaza. If Israel can't do that, then why would Hezbollah be afraid to start a war with Israel? So it's a real problem.
Gotcha. In the last few minutes, we have a senior political correspondent for Jewish Insider, Lahav Kharkov. So I'm looking at this list of prisoners, and the list that I got shows that they're giving back one sibling, or maybe they're giving back two siblings, but not the parents or not the other relatives. They're breaking apart families. So it's like Hamas is torturing us yet all over again.
So Israel has insisted that mothers and children not be separated. And there is no confirmed list. Israel doesn't even know which hostages are going to be home. The list that's been sent around is sort of potential possible people that would be released. But we don't actually know who's going to be released, and we won't know till tomorrow when the first sort of tranche is let out of Gaza. But anyway, Israel has insisted that mothers and children not be separated. But Hamas is not going to release any men. So there are children who might be separated from their fathers.
Gotcha. Because I'm just looking at that, and that's absolutely horrific. And looking at this whole thing going forward, I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely breaking my heart. But is there an awful, I don't want to say silver lining, that's the wrong way to put it, but has it put the onus on Hamas, where even Hamas admits they don't know where some of the hostages are? Does this put the onus on them to keep producing hostages so the ceasefire continues, so they have to go find them?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's really part of the thinking by Israel. Some of the people who are involved in the negotiations on the Israeli side told me that their sense is that Hamas really wants this ceasefire to last for a while. Now, we know that Hamas doesn't want a ceasefire in the long term, because Hamas's leadership has made clear that they want to keep attacking Israel. But at least in the short term, they want as long a break as possible. And so Israel has offered, for every 10 additional hostages that Hamas can return, to give another sort of day off. And they hope that that will incentivize Hamas to return as many hostages as possible. That being said, I mean, we know that they're not particularly rational actors, so it is really hard to predict what they'll do. Hamas has broken ceasefires like this. Humanitarian pauses seems to be the new fashionable phrase for it. So in past smaller wars with Israel, they've broken them. So we really have to wait and see what happens.
Lahav Kharkov, senior political correspondent for Jewish Insider. You should follow her over on Twitter, because she's got the latest breaking news coming out of the Middle East. If this is the one you want to follow, if you want to know the latest of what's going on, thank you so much for your insight, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.